going from being the leader to a leader, going from being the one to make the decision to being a part of the decision. Those are all real things that you have to bring to the Holy Spirit, work through with humility and community. But I am living proof of trusting God with my obedience over opportunity.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to Framework Leadership, a podcast about principles and ideas you can use today to take your leadership to the next level. I'm your host, Kent Engel, president of Southeastern University.
And I'm your co-host, Michael Steiner, vice president for innovation.
And what a privilege today to welcome our guest, Charles Metcalf.
Hello.
Great to have you with us. Thanks for taking time.
Oh, my gosh. Thank y'all so much. That was like one of the most pro intros to a podcast ever.
Yes.
Your voice kicked on. I was like, oh, my God.
We're set to go.
Charles
is originally from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Charles is the lead executive pastor at Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Man, just great to have you at SCU Comp 2024.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's been awesome already. So I love it.
And thanks for willing to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
We've been looking forward to this. I want to start our conversation by talking about your experience at Transformation Church. I mean, your congregation, how you share the message of Jesus.
And
tell us about your mission and commitment to spreading incredible truth.
Absolutely. So I've been at Transformation now for almost 8 years.
Wow.
The story of how I got there is really crazy. Long story short, me and my wife were starting a church in our city, and I met Pastor Michael along the way, and this was before anybody was anybody, and it was super beautiful. We went to lunch one time. I asked him with a list full of questions, like, hey, I'm a church planter. I need help. And he ignored all my questions and asked me about my marriage and asked me about my health and asked me about my heart.
Wow.
And long story short, through a process, we shut down the church plant. We were a year in, $100,000 in the bank, signed a lease on a building, launch day, everything. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, shut it down and go serve at TC. And so we go serve, and we serve for 6 months just as a volunteer. And then literally it's a little bit later, everything goes crazy, and now the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
So our mission is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation
Love
in Christ.
That.
And so that first word, represent, is there's a lot of people, as y'all know, that have a picture of God that's not accurate of who he is.
Exactly.
And so our heart and our mission is to show God in a different way and say, hey, it's the same Jesus. We can't do nothing new to this, but maybe you've heard if you had never met him and I was like, man, this guy's a really bad guy. He's not kind. He is really bad. You would already have an idea about him before you met him.
Right.
And so our heart is to come back to people and say, hey, I know what you heard, but like, let us open this book and show you who he really is. And so, it's a blessing to be able to do it.
And I love the name Transformation Church, because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Man. It's a constant transformation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that story is so powerful of, you know, folding what God was already doing with you into another vision. I mean, walk us through that. I feel like that's not something that, I mean, when you think about the willingness to follow Spirit on that, and
Absolutely.
So many leaders, I know a lot of our listeners, this is something that they need to understand of the
100%.
World of opportunities that open up. So walk us through what that process was like. How did you do that? How
100%.
Did you kind of embrace that?
Man, it's crazy because I'm able to say it so quick.
But
looking back, it was the biggest thing that ever happened. And so how we got there was, me and my wife have always had people in our life that are close to us, but that were far from God.
Yeah.
And I grew up a pastor's kid in church, in ministry, didn't really want to do it, not because I had a bad experience, but I just had other interests.
Right.
But, you know, many other plans of a man's heart. God's purpose prevails. And so I find myself in ministry. I was a youth pastor at Life Church with Craig Rochelle for 3 years. And it was a beautiful experience. Grew more in my leadership than I ever thought I would. Learned more about ministry, developing teams. But I had a lot of friends who were close to me, but they didn't feel like that message and the way they translated that resonated with them. And I always felt in my heart that since I said, like, I'm going to do ministry, I said, God, man, I want this to impact the people closest to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this to matter to my friends, my family. And so through conversation, we felt led to start a church in our community. It was called Eden. And so we started having these once a month services. My friend would lead 3 worship songs. I would get up and preach. And our first one we ever had, 200 people showed up. And we're like, we got kicked out of the venue. Owner comes up to me. He's like, you lied. You said it was going to be 30 people. I was like, I thought it would be 30.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I told him, I was like, if it goes really
good.
Yeah, I was like, if it goes really good, we'll have 50. Like, and so we just had something special. And it was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And so it's funny. One of those individuals at that first night was Mike's little brother. His name's Grayson. He's now like our creative, our art director at the church.
Yeah.
But he had asked Mike to start bringing him. So anyways, we end up, how we got to the situation was Mike was just a friend. He was a genuine friend who didn't talk to me from a sense of position, but just who I was as a person.
Yeah.
Always checking on my marriage, always checking on my health, always checking on my heart. And so he invites me to go on this trip with him in Dallas to learn at this conference. And genuinely, I'm sitting there and I feel the Holy Spirit say, hey, listen, you need to shut this down and serve and protect him. And my first thought was no. Like,
we got a great thing going. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Some people, it's like, man, I was just following God. You know, I had to shut something down. And it's like, some people didn't have a choice. Like, you didn't know. But like, it really felt like, oh man, God, this is going good. Yeah. And it was funny. He said that moment. But then I recalled our first time we ever sat together and talked. Mike was like, hey, would you ever want to like team up and be like the Golden State Warriors? This is when KD was going and all this stuff. And so anyways, that seed was planted. But long story short, I had the sense of, Charles, you can do this by your, like, you can keep going.
Yeah.
You can keep doing this. Mm-hmm. But what could you miss out on?
Right.
And what could your soul, your family, your wife, your future children miss out on?
Wow.
Ever since my little brother was born, I wanted to be a dad and I wanted to be a husband. That's all I ever, like pastoring, all this was extra. And so anyways, it really was. It was a hard decision. And we had that gathering where we had another church service. Mm. We were like, come on, it's going to be the best one ever. Yeah. We got over there, packed out this little club in downtown Tulsa. And I preached a message on Abraham. And the idea was, is this God's dream or is this a God dream? And meaning, many times we get dreams from God and then we take them as our own. And it's our dream. But if it's God's dream, he gets to tell you when to lay it down. He gets to tell you what to do with it. And so I told him, I said, this church has always been God's.
Yeah.
And so we're shutting it down. And so we shut it down. I come on staff, not on staff. I come to the staff as a volunteer.
Right.
And the first week, I'm like, "What did I do?
This was the worst decision ever."
My wife is like, "What are we doing?"
Yeah.
And so, anyways, it's been the most beautiful thing that has ever happened. And not from an external perspective, but from the relationship, from the covering, from the friendship. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there's something to be seen out of that. The scripture is very clear. God always sent them out two by two.
Yeah.
It was Paul and Silas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, like there's all these pictures in throughout scripture where it was two people. And I think one perspective might be that we've seen a lot of pressure in the church, a lot of pastors dealing with stuff that I think may not be there if it was two by two.
Right, right.
It would not be there if you were carrying the weight by yourself. And it's a beautiful opportunity. I mean, I preach 15 Sundays out of the year. Right. I like help lead our staff. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful thing.
Well, and at the end of the day, it just like you said, this is God's church.
Absolutely.
Like and if we can, it gets so easy, right, in that moment to all of a sudden feel like this is God's church that he gave me. Right. And so to be able to step into that space in obedience. And that's, I think that's, you see it over and over and over again, how God blesses people who are obedient, no matter where they go and all that kind of thing. I mean, so what advice would you give if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, oh my gosh, God's been telling me this. I'm in this moment. I can't believe I'm hearing this podcast right now. Yep. What would that advice be that you'd give for them in that moment?
I would say on the other side of obedience is a life you could never dream of.
Yeah.
And not from the external. There were practical things I was worried about, you know, going from being the leader to a leader, going from being the one to make the decision to being a part of a decision. Mm-hmm. Those are all real things that you have to bring to the Holy Spirit, work through with humility and community. But I am living proof of trusting God with my obedience over opportunities.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who like the opportunity of being a church planter, the opportunity of being a president of something. But the truth is, we're all here because we're just obeying God.
Yep. Yeah.
And if he asks you to do it, it feels like Moses, if you don't go, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Like, and that's been my heart posture from the beginning. Like, God, if you're not here, no matter how many people are coming, how much money we got, that doesn't matter. If you're not with me, I know who I am.
Right.
I know I am not qualified. Yep. And I think a lot of us have more belief in ourselves than we should sometimes.
Yep.
In the sense of our talent, we think like, well, I could do this. You said it, I'm from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I am keenly aware of what I can do. So I would just say, trust him. It's worth it.
Love it.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, in the chaotic world of life that we live in every day and all the issues and the challenges and the diverse activities, how do you ensure regular engagement and application of biblical truth in your life, the people you get to serve? You know, how do you make that happen?
Absolutely. That's a great question. One thing, you know, me and my wife, me and him were talking earlier, we have four kids, Arlo, Luna, Jade, and Blue. And they're all under, we have four under four. So it's a wild circus of a place at our house.
Yeah.
It's a joy. But through the experience of having multiple kids, my time with God got so challenged. Like just me personally. Like, you know, it's not like your consistent time is not your time no more.
Right. Exactly.
And so I developed this practice that it's been a beautiful thing to share with friends. That really is a baseline of consistency in your life. The way it came to me was I was looking at actually my workout routines, and I was an individual of dramatic intensity but not consistent longevity. So I was a person that wouldn't work out for 3 months, and then I'd do 75 hard. Yeah. And then I would, like, I did 75 hard months, but I said, I want to create consistent longevity rather than some dramatic intensity. And I think a lot of times when it comes to our practices, whether that's reading of scripture or prayer or some, all of us commit to the read the Bible in 90 days on YouVersion. We all, everybody's like, I'm going to do this.
Exactly.
Whether that's through church, we're going to take our whole church and blah, like, and I made a commitment in my heart. Is I want to do something that's not impressive in 7 days, but that's impressive in 7 years.
Wow.
And so I started this thing that's called GPS. It's one gratitude, one scripture, one gratitude, one prayer, and one scripture.
Yeah, I like
that. And I've been doing it every single day. I'm on day 345, I think today is.
Yep.
And it's literally just I write down one unique gratitude.
Yeah.
So not like I'm grateful for this day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm grateful for today because God has taken me from a place I never thought I would be to here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so a genuine gratitude.
Right.
I write down a prayer, something super simple. I go through old prayers throughout scripture, the desert fathers and mothers. Like I have all these lists of different prayers, but it's usually something acknowledging God of peace, guide me today.
Yeah.
Like strong counselor, give me wisdom. Like, and then one scripture, a super simple, you know, maybe Psalm 131, my head is not lifted too high, I have a concern. That baseline practice, on top, I'll spend times, I'll read through a chat, but like that consistent longevity, the gratitude has produced a perspective in my heart that allows bad things to happen and not ruin my day.
Yeah.
And the prayer and the scripture has kept me in communion with God. And so that's a personal thing that's translated into so many different things. And now even our ministry model of church for Transformation Church, we say we're about faith, friends, and formation. Mm. On Sundays, you can get your faith encouraged, inspired. There's nothing like worshiping in a room full of people who are there for the same reason, to meet friends, to have practical people in your life that you can talk to. And then formation, we're forming into the image of Jesus. But our goal is to create consistent longevity, that the win would be we're 25 years from now, 30 years from now, our marriages are better, our kids are better. And so that practice has really formed a lot of my own life, the life of my friends, my family. Yeah. And now the life of our church, and it's super special.
And what I love is what's special about that is the not just the simplicity of it, but yet, so like with so much of these discipline habits, you know, work-life balance, everybody's got their thing, right?
Yes.
And they're posting it on social media all across the board, and it can feel so overwhelming, right?
Yeah,
like
as
a dad, we were talking about earlier, it's like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing it with my kids?
Yeah.
And I love the ability of just figuring out what works for you in a consistent way over time, right?
Absolutely.
And not getting caught up in that comparative. What, I mean, there's a lot of students right now, a lot of listeners we have that are in that time of life where they're forming these things.
Yep,
like they're saying like, okay, I want to get it right. I want to get my life right, all that kind of stuff. What's a great starting point? What's a great way for them to really say, hey, this is where I can start?
One, it's so funny because I'm usually the young guy in spaces, but my dad, we were reading our Bible. Like I'm one of my friends. I'm one of the only people that always has a physical Bible. Like I preach out of my Bible, scribbled in the margins is my sermon.
Love it.
And so I am the guy, like I remember at a young age, like I just love that book.
Yeah.
And like, I think there's no replacement for the book. There's no plan, even my little GPS, it does not replace that book.
Yeah.
And so I would say, I heard a pastor say one time, the best version of the Bible to read is the one that you read.
Right?
Yeah,
it's true.
Exactly.
It's true. Right,
it's like,
what's the best version? It's like the one you're going to read.
Exactly.
So start somewhere.
Right.
And again, not read through the whole Bible, I'm going to eat but like, if it's one scripture, if it's a couple moments, and then we have so much access to information. If you don't understand it, you can look. What does this scripture mean?
Right.
But the habit and the practice of just opening up that, nothing will replace that.
Yeah.
Nothing replaces that book reading you. Nothing replaces the Holy Spirit illuminating something. And whether that's as random as you do the old flip it open and see what happens,
yeah, right.
or you have something you're following, but I am a firm believer. This scripture says, Isaiah, grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Yeah, and the only thing you can build your life on is the book and the word of God. And so that, I mean, whether you're in college, wherever you are, I would encourage you that sometimes we want this big, beautiful thing, and the book is the only thing that lasts. Yeah. And so find a way, again, your version, your way. Mm. Some people like to journal along. Yep. My wife's a huge, she'll read one scripture and write five pages of, of journaling. I'm like, I'll take in a whole chapter to see what it means and just sit with it. But I think it's the Bible, man. It's super simple.
Yeah.
Love it. Love
it's, so it's disciplined simplicity.
That's great. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you just do it. And make it work. And that's what stirs your faith. And, and why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word.
Yep.
You want your faith strong? Get into it.
Absolutely.
So that's powerful. Yep. We're going to move into our fire round and just ask a few quick questions about kind of everything we've discussed, and just want to grab some practical and applicable pieces of advice for everybody listening today. So I think we'll just do three quick questions. So, Michael, fire the first one.
Love it. So what's the first piece of advice you give to people just entering to ministry?
Just entering ministry.
Yep.
Find your pace that keeps you healthy, not for tomorrow, but 10 years from now.
Yeah, I like that.
The eagerness of immediately, I'm ready, it would be better to last than to be a short stint. And so I want to build a life that lasts.
Love it.
What strategies have you found to be most effective in helping a lot of young adults discover calling, passion?
Yeah. I would say trying.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we over-spiritualize, like, not missing it.
Right.
And I think God is way ready to work with a willing heart than a waiting heart. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think once you feel that, I went through multiple different areas of ministry, but I think just try and trust
Step
God.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
What's the number one thing that ministers, pastors need to be thinking about when it comes to sharing the gospel in today's society? What's the number one thing to be thinking about?
I heard somebody say one time, distance creates distortion. Mm. I think one of the most powerful things for a minister of the gospel and for the leader of a church is to have people in your life that do not know Jesus. Because this is, it becomes very easy to preach ethereally, but you not live it out.
Mm.
Every Sunday, I have people I have personally invited that I'm thinking, if they hear this sermon, will they come to know Christ? If this is the day they decide, like, and I think it's a beautiful opportunity to keep your faith fresh, to keep this real to you, for it not to become something that just becomes a closed-in little world, but it's alive and active, and you're and you're seeing your friends come to Jesus. There is no fuel like seeing someone snatched out of the pit of hell.
Yeah,
and so I think every pastor and preacher, people getting into ministry, having someone close to you that you're personally inviting, that's on your prayer list.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Love it.
Ah. Great, great wisdom. Man, you have such a relational authenticity that's absolutely contagious.
Oh,
and so what a privilege to experience that and have this conversation today. So thank you for joining us on the podcast. If you want to stay up to date with Charles, all you have to do is follow him on Instagram at Charles Metcalf. Is there any other place we can point people to? Or
no,
is that the best place?
That's it right there. Yes, sir.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you for being with us. And thank everybody for joining us on the Framework Leadership Podcast today. Hope everybody has a great week. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Framework Leadership. If you're watching on YouTube right now, now would be a great time to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button so you can get more leadership content right into your YouTube feed. You can also check us out on Instagram at Kent_Engel, at Dr. Michael Steiner, or on Twitter and YouTube at Kent Engel. And hey, if you love great email newsletters, and I know that I do, you want to check out the Framework Leadership newsletter. Every single Friday drops in great tips to be a better leader, resources, thoughts right into your inbox. Check it out. You can sign up at kentengel.com. Make sure you hop onto there. Thank you so much for listening to Framework Leadership.
Take care, everybody.